Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse for the Giants, it has, and it could get even worse because if Daniel Jones isn't ready to play, and by the way, why was he practicing the entire week and then all of a sudden is not going to play? And now that Mike Glennon is out with a concussion, everybody just assumes that Jake Fromm is going to start for the Giants next week. I mean, Daniel Jones went from practicing on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to being out now for two consecutive weeks. And Mike Glennon, they've already assumed he's not going to be back next week. I'm confused.
I have no idea how much he practiced. I don't know if it was a full practice or he was just out there when the media was out there. I don't know what Joe Judge is doing here. I mean, if he's hurt, he's hurt. There's really not much you could do about it. And, you know, this team is going nowhere. I know they're still in the hunt. And I know that that's the way that they have to feel. But let's be real here.
We've been real, I think.
I know that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying that to the Giants, too. If the guy's hurt, he's hurt. He can't play. You know, and I know that's the big thing that, you know, people hang their hat on when it comes to Eli. You know, he made all of his games. He never missed a game due to injury. And that's something to behold. And that's part of the responsibility of the player himself. Same thing for, you know, Saquon Barkley or for anybody. You got to stay healthy to stay on the field, stay on the court, stay on the ice. You know, and that's the other thing. The Knicks are, like, brutal now, too, all of a sudden.
Don't do that to me just yet.
All right, I'm sorry.
All right, so I want to give you, I'm going to throw a couple games at you here.
Can I ask you a question really quickly?
Yeah, go for it.
If the Giant offense is playing the Jet defense, who would win?
What happens? What comes first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah, I would think, what is a worse unit? Is Daniel Jones playing?
Yes.
I would say that the Jets defense is slightly worse than the Giant offense.
20 points, 24 points, what do you think?
Yeah, three touchdowns, I think, would be the maximum that you could get out of the Giants offense. And 17 would be the minimum, 24 would be the maximum.
The Jets have the worst defense in football.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a few worse offenses in football than the Giants, like the Lions, the Panthers, the Bears, the Seahawks. The Seahawks with Russell Wilson, by the way, although he did miss three games. And then, of course, the Texans.
All right, so statistically, I pegged that right. The Giants' offense is slightly better than the Jets' defense as an overall unit. All right, I'm going to give you a couple of games next week with the early lines that are out. You tell me which is the biggest spread.
Okay. Right?
The biggest
spread, okay.
Jaguars at Titans. Seahawks at Texans. Giants at Chargers. Bears at Packers. Which one?
Giants at Chargers.
You think is the biggest one?
Yes.
That's the second biggest one. And that number is, you want to take a guess?
I'm going to say 10.5.
Yeah, you nailed it. 10.5. Right on the nuts, 10.5.
Oh, there you go. So the biggest one then, read them again to me.
The Jaguars, Titans, yeah. Seahawks at Texans, Bears at Packers. There's one that's 12.5 out of those three. Got a guess. Biggest one.
Seahawks at Texans.
No, that's actually the least amount. It's Bears at Packers.
Really?
Yeah, Bears plus 12.5 at Green Bay.
I hate like the division game thing.
Yeah, well.
Because for some reason, like you saw yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Like the Lions beat the Vikings.
I don't want to sit here and mention how many guys were out for the Vikings. That would sound like an excuse, but there was a lot of guys that were out.
It's an
emotional spot for the Lions.
Emotional spot, too, yes.
It was an emotional spot.
I know.
So, but they stink, and Mike Zimmer should probably have to move on at the end of this year. I think it's been enough already.
Yeah. I heard that Matt Rhule was sniffing around colleges.
Oh, really? Why would they fire their offensive coordinator?
They did. Joe Brady, that was going to revolutionize, I thought
he was going to be a head coach before he got fired.
Yeah, we all thought that Sam Darnold was going to have this second coming under Joe Brady, this wonderful offense coordinator that was the offense coordinator for Joe Burrow at LSU, and before that he was at the Saints. Now all of a sudden he gets fired. He gets fired. What that tells me is that somebody was talking to colleges while being on a staff of an NFL team.
Joe Brady was talking to colleges.
Right? He may have been talking to LSU before they went the Brian Kelly route.
Well, I mean, can you blame him?
No, I can't blame any of these coaches for doing any of it. Because the timing's never going to be perfect. Plus, with the transfer portal and the nil payments now, players can leave, come and go whenever they want. I mean, that's fine. And I'm all for that, too. I'm all for everybody getting theirs wherever they get it from.
Sure.
It's just a guy, for guys like Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, you have an opportunity of a lifetime. A lifetime. And the timing is never going to work out for any of these coaches to leave successful programs to go to another successful program or another program, especially when you're talking about places like Oklahoma and Notre Dame, who the alum and the supporters and everything else think that they're everything. And then when you leave them, you're going to get all the criticism thrown at you from that group. And by the way, did you see the Notre Dame players react?
Oh my God.
To their new head coach?
They went nuts.
To me, that's the best thing about all of this, is that a guy gets an opportunity that he would have never thought he was going to get when he signed there as the defensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman, did last year. He's only been there for a year.
Now, just because the players were excited doesn't mean he's going to be a great head coach, but they were fired up.
But the point being is that when you see that, you say, okay, Brian Kelly is in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, screw him.
The coaching staff is staying intact without Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
So, and that's a big part of keeping continuity and hopefully keeping success at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, good riddance, Brian Kelly. Who cares?
I wanted them to get into the playoff just because of that whole thing. That would have been a great story. And to see Jack Cohn compete for a championship, that would have been very, very cool.
Oklahoma State gave you an opportunity.
Yeah.
But, this college football playoff thing, you see how they got it set up, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Got Alabama's number one and Georgia's number three, which means that they could see each other again for a national championship.
Well, of course.
Depending on what Michigan and Cincinnati obviously do.
I mean, Georgia just got – I mean, that defense was one of the best – it was the best defense in the country the entire season and just got roasted by Alabama in that game.
Of course, I bet Georgia. Bryce Young was making over $1 million in name, image, and likeness money down there at Alabama. You remember at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
Your man Nick Saban was out there saying, my quarterback's making over $1 million.
Yeah, well, he played like it.
Is that us or is that him?
And he's got two more years left to do that with a Heisman Trophy under his arm.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This kid was ripping it on Saturday.
I mean, if I didn't know the stories already, I mean, so Stetson Bennett IV being the quarterback for Georgia is a guy who was a walk-on, and then Bryce Young, the pedigree and thoroughbred that he is, you would have been like, how in the hell would you ever think that Georgia was a better team going into the game?
Man, I'll tell you what.
They were not coming out of the game, that's for sure.
I mean, some of these plays that Bryce Young made the other day on Saturday were ridiculous.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
He was ripping it. That's when a quarterback is in the zone, is like when he is just firing the football and it's going exactly where he wants it to go. I mean, he wasn't holding back on anything.
No, he was not.
There was no indecision whatsoever.
Man, and donkey me betting Georgia. I did have a great time down at Ocean Casino down in Atlantic City. That place is awesome. And that sports book is beautiful. And I was sitting in this awesome recliner chair and watching this game and getting frustrated watching the game. But I had an amazing time there. Dinner was great.
Did you bring your booze dust with you?
Yeah, of course I did. Okay. Yeah, I needed it big time. I went out to the club afterwards, me and Gina. We had a great time.
Going clubbing, I
we
like
did.
It.
We did, yeah. It was an amazing steak dinner there at American Cut. That
were
place.
You pumping it up like this?
Yeah, not like that. Probably
what
worse.
Were you doing a little roll-y-roll?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to recreate it now. Little roll-y-roll. Roll.
Were you doing a little thumbs?
We're all going to a wedding.
Were you thumbing up?
We're all going to a wedding this weekend.
Allie and Sal, are we going to all dance together? Are we going to get out there and dance, you think?
Not all of us.
Will you be pulled out to the dance floor by your significant other there, Al?
I will not be attending.
Oh, you're not? You didn't? Oh, wow. You pulled that move.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought all of us were going.
No.
Wow.
Wow.
Sent a lovely gift.
Wow.
Wow.
Too far for me.
Too far. Well, Eddie's going, Jerry's going, I'm going, Boomer's going, and you decided, you made the bold move to be the one of us who was not going.
That's correct.
Wow.
Jerry talked me into it.
Talked you into not going?
He said, you're
going
to be miserable. Why would you make yourself miserable? I said, you're right, I will be miserable.
This is what Jerry does.
He was right, though.
Yeah, No, time out, though. But this is what Jerry does.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, this is how Jerry now controls Al.
Wow.
His negativity is basically overtaken Al's life. No,
I was happy he did it because he's right. Right now,
you just needed an excuse and wanted somebody to
he's right.
Support what you're doing.
Because right now, thinking that the wedding Saturday, I'd be like, oh, I have no interest in going out there, figuring out what to do with the dog, hours out there, hours back.
It's like the rest of us don't have anything to worry about.
No, but we all can make our decisions in life what we want to do.
Listen, I'm not going to knock you for not going because I know you probably would be miserable the entire time.
And I'm not doing that anymore, being miserable.
No, right. Yeah, enough of that. But I was just surprised because we had this conversation.
We did.
You were like, all of us were going. You were like, oh, that means that I have to go as well.
And then when I was talking to Jerry about it, Jerry's like, you don't have to go.
Jerry, see?
He goes, why ruin your weekend? I was like, yeah, why ruin my weekend?
How long have you known Allie for?
I don't know. Long time.
Yeah.
Okay. I've not gone to a lot of even closer friends' weddings.
Yeah, no, you didn't go to Gunnar's wedding.
Exactly. It's in Massachusetts, which Long Island may as well be Massachusetts.
Yeah, but you'd have to make a weekend out of it.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, and I told Gunnar, I said, just invite Al. He's not coming, so don't worry about it.
Plus, Gina wasn't vaccinated at the time.
Right. You had to be vaxxed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going.
So that's her fault.
Yeah,
it was a good
story. So, look, we're not back, so we're not coming.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Perfect out for you.
Yes.
Just so everybody knows, because some people, the Jersey people, and I'm this way with Jersey, I think Jersey, everybody lives next to each other in New Jersey, just like the Jersey people think that everybody lives next to each other on Long Island. I live 45 to 50 minutes east of where this wedding is. So it's a drive for me as well. So I'm not I was going to invite people over. It was closer or whatever, and people can hang out. But I'm not going to make anybody go 45 to 50 minutes east to come hang out before a wedding. That's ridiculous, right? And if I invite people over, that means that they would have to feel obligated to do that. So I'm not doing that. Right?
No, we're not doing that.
We're not doing any of that.
No.
But I was going to offer up the house, guest bedroom to people. And I said, wait a second. This is a far drive
Gina
for me.
I can see Al and Gina staying for the weekend with you.
Well, they're not coming now.
Oh.
Where's Stu Feiner's house in relation to the wedding?
It's close.
It's close. Much closer. Maybe go to Stu Feiner's house. He'd love to have you.
Yeah. Would you go there, Eddie? Would you bring your wife into Stu Feiner's den?
No.
Yeah,
no,
I didn't think so.
In hell.
Right. I did not think so.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
We've got a Jet loss. We've got a Giant loss. We've got Jerry Recco back with us. What's happening, Jerry?
Morning. Powered by Superbook. Now open with better odds and favorable prices. We're also brought to you by Dr. Shaw and Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. Let's get to more Joe Judge sound. Why the hell not? This is fun. Giants lost to the Dolphins 20-9, as we know. Miami's won five in a row. The Giants now a 4-8 team. Here was Joe Judge. Not great, right? Well, doesn't sound like it. A lot of good stuff for him.
I'm pleased with a lot of things in the team. You know, it's going to be a good week for us to get together as a team, go out to the West Coast, work together.
He even thinks the offensive line is doing better.
I think our pass protection as a whole, although there's some plays obviously we got to look at and keep on improving on, but I'm encouraged by some of the things we're seeing out there in terms of how that group's progressing.
Every time Saquon Barkley has the ball, it's like five guys on
him. I know.
I mean, like immediately.
Daryl Johnson says at one point, he goes, I think it was the third quarter, where he ran straight ahead for 3 yards. He goes, just do that. He goes, there's nowhere else to run. Just fall forward.
You know, it's amazing to me. And I don't know if it's, I mean, it's a little bit of scheme. It's player. It's a lack of a passing threat. There's a lot of things that go into it. I don't know, man. He's got, I don't know what it is. There's just no room anywhere.
All right, who do you think's got the best running offense in football? The Colts?
I would say, well, the Colts, the Patriots.
Okay. If you put Saquon on those teams, would he be 10 times better than he is with the Giants? Or
so if you watch Jonathan Taylor run.
He runs, I mean.
Yes. Well, that's not.
Straight ahead.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. It's just not.
So you're saying it's more Saquon than it is what's around him?
I played with some pretty great running backs in my career, man. I you know, from James Brooks to Icky Woods to Harold Green, Corey Dillon, even Brad Baxter, the fullback that I played with at the Jets, Johnny Johnson when I was here with the Jets. Man, they were tough, gritty. Like they would lower their shoulders, go between the tackles, and if there wasn't a hole there, they always fell forward, it felt like. Very rarely did they ever lose yards. I don't know. It's just there's something wrong about this running game, the way they teach it, the way the players are not fitting in it. I'm like, their rushing offense is just non-existent whatsoever. And you can't win in this league without being able to run the ball.
Cover zero, that's man-to-man?
That's man-to-man without a free safety.
Here was Judge liking what they did with that.
Had some productive plays against that zero look and made some plays pushing forward. That was encouraging. I saw Mike do a lot of good things at line of scrimmage as far as identifying what the look was, you know, facilitating the offense, getting the ball out.
I know what
he's
talking
about. Are you out of your effing mind?
Yeah. I know what he's talking about because Miami has been a very blitz-heavy team over the last 4 or 5 weeks and do a lot
of different things. You're patting him on the back for recognizing it?
No, I'm not.
Joe Judge is.
No, I'm just trying. Crazy. I'm just trying to explain to you what he is saying about that defense. It's the same thing like yesterday watching Baltimore play against Pittsburgh. Baltimore would have like eight guys up at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting back there in the shotgun. You try to, okay, which one's coming? Which one's not, you know, going to be, you know, coming in? And all of a sudden, you snap the ball. Three guys in the middle of the defensive line go dropping out. And then the guys on the end, come into the backfield. And it's just like, holy crap. They do a great job of disguising.
There was one red zone yesterday during a commercial break. I put it on. They had the Bucks and who they play? The Falcons on.
Yeah.
And we always talk about maybe we should make it more like street football, you know, go in the huddle and, you know, draw up the play in the street, in the dirt. And or if you get up to the line of scrimmage, make it like it's your kids again. There was one play in red zone where Tom Brady goes up to the line. He goes, hey, watch this guy.
Right, exactly.
It was so like, wow, sure. Very basic.
Sam Weiss always told me when I got to the line of scrimmage or when I was in the huddle, he goes, there's a way to converse with your teammates. You can yell at them. And all of a sudden that raises up the anxiety, or you could just matter-of-factly tell them something and they'll react naturally to it. So that's exactly what Brady was doing.
It was funny.
I would get up there and I'd be saying like to Roddy Holman, well, you know, watch 56, baby, watch 56, you know, and he would be aware and next thing you know, 56 would come and he would break his route off and we'd have a big play.
Here's another one. This is a good one from Joe Judge. He was asked probably about 7 or 8 minutes in to his BS conversation. Why in the world are you being so positive? You've scored nine. You just scored 9 points today and didn't get in the end zone.
I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays, and that's what we got to do. We got to get the ball in our players' hands, let them make plays, let them extend plays, and be explosive players.
Yeah, that right there is the opposite of the Jason Garrett conversation. So he said that when he fired Jason Garrett, they needed to get his players to perform better because they have too many good players to have the offense be this bad. So now he's saying that that's what's happening with Freddie Kitchens when it's not happening.
The Giants are averaging 17 points a game.
I mean, he's self-conscious about that move. That's where this is coming from. I'm diagnosing him right now.
You're right.
If he were on a couch and I was a therapist, I am diagnosing him, the fact that he's trying to justify that move because he's self-conscious about it, and everybody is probably thinking what we're thinking, and he's trying to combat against it.
I will say he didn't have Daniel Jones, but then again, the offense coordinator called the play. They got Daniel Jones smashed up on the second play of the game last week against the Eagles.
You mentioned 17 points a game. Yeah. That number is down because of the last two games where they scored 13 and 9.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So they're scoring under their average.
Yeah, significantly under.
With a new offensive coordinator.
Correct. The philosophy.
I see the game through the standpoint of letting your players go out there and play the game.
Okay.
Well, so now they're going to Arizona. It's probably a good thing they're going to Arizona.
So here was Logan Ryan talking about that.
In the past, this has been very beneficial. I'm sure Joe spoke on that, and that's why we're doing it, to get away from the noise a little bit. And kind of in training camp, we don't really go away. Training camp's very different.
The thing about the noise, though, is if they were 8-4 and there was noise, I'd get it. They're 4-8.
Or if
they
just would have won this game, there wouldn't have been noise.
You know, just make
win
Logan
this
Ryan
one.
The head coach. He seems the most, like, you know, with down it, to yeah. earth with it and understands exactly what's going on. Hmm.
Giants, while they will be in Arizona this week, they are in L.A. against the Chargers on Sunday. As for the Jets, they lost. They played the Eagles and Gardner Minshew. 33-18 was the final. Jets did score on their first three possessions, but they missed a couple of extra points. They had to go for two, which is where the 18 number comes in. Here's how some of it sounded on Philadelphia radio.
First and 10. Gainwell stays in. On first down, it goes to Gainwell. Up the middle, he plows. Breaks the tackle at the 5.
And that pretty much did it because they never looked
crowd.
Back.
If you watch this play, look at C.J. Mosley just get locked up with the left guard of the Eagles. I mean, it's just he just completely gets blocked out of the way.
C.J. Mosley, by the way, with a horrific penalty in this game on 4th-and-2, and he goes off sides and gives him a first down. I believe in the third quarter.
Elijah Moore looks like a real player, though, boys.
Yeah, he definitely does.
Had that early touchdown. That's right.
Even Tevin Coleman, you see how he runs?
Yeah, no, I know. He looks great. I mean, if he were a rookie or someone we didn't know about, you'd be like, man, that kid's got a future, but he's been around a while.
He's taken so many hits, and he plays the game. He plays his position so violently.
Yeah.
But that's how you have to play that position. It's almost like you're playing it at full speed, knowing eventually you're going to get hurt. But while I'm playing the position,
Might as well go full speed
because I have no other choice.
Minshew's first start with the Eagles, eerily similar to his first start with the Jaguars. The numbers are almost identical. He was 20 of 25 yesterday, 242, and a couple of touchdowns, 105 yards receiving, and a couple of touchdowns for Dallas Goedert. Here was Minshew. What a day.
This felt so good, man. It's the best time I've had since week one of last year. There's nothing like that feeling, you know. Glad to do it with this group of guys. They made it easy for me.
Did you see him and his dad after the game?
I didn't.
There's a thing on I don't know, Twitter or something, of him and his dad, like, chest bumping after the game.
Of course, yeah. Which his dad is also Gardner Minshew, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of
course.
But it's just great to see it.
Yeah.
His dad's wearing a hoodie and everything.
Man, I tell you, if Gardner Minshew ever were to become a successful Eagles quarterback, I mean, that guy in that city together, that would be something else.
Let's see. Gardner Minshew's dad. I'm watching. Do you think Al is older than him or younger than him?
I'm going to say Al is younger than him by a couple of years.
Yeah, I can't tell how old he is. He looks, I would say a little older, but I don't know. We will try and effort that. Just give you one from Robert Saleh. In terms of having not Jalen Hurts, but Minshew playing quarterback, he goes, okay, we weren't surprised by anything.
Everything that they did was expected. It's all part of their game plan. The plays were all the same.
Oh, by the way, this was Zach Wilson. So we talked about the 1 minute of time of possession in the third quarter. He was asked, what was it like not being on the field and only having the ball for such a short time? Very interesting answer.
I thought it was a good opportunity for us to practice, you know, how to come out and play well when we've been on the sideline for a long time, you know.
To practice, it's a game. I mean, I know what he's saying, but yeah, very interesting. Wilson, by the way, 23 of 38, 226.
Using the regular season to practice.
That kid is so sheltered; it's not even funny.
Jets take on the Saints on Sunday. Meantime, Lions beat the Vikings for their first win of the season, 29-27. Head coach Dan Campbell.
I'm proud of our guys, man. I'm happy for them. Well, of course, I'm happy. We're all happy. I'm happy for the coaches. I'm happy for everybody. But it's like, you want this so bad for the players, man.
And they got it. Jared Goff.
You know what? We all wanted it for you, man. I was
for Dan Campbell.
For
I agree.
I'm rooting for him, man.
I totally, especially I after Goff fumbles.
Man. Oh, God. I know on that fourth down he went for it. I mean, I'm surprised that the Lions didn't let the Vikings score earlier than that and give him even more time. But, yeah, that was pretty ugly. But I love the call, the fact that he went for that, whatever it was, 4th and 3 on his own 30.
He's got nothing to lose.
What the hell?
Speaking of, did you see the fake punt for Seattle that went for a touchdown from their own 25-yard line?
You know what that is? That's tape. Looking at a lot of tape. And the special teams coach going over to Pete Carroll, look, man, we got to play.
We got to play.
And they did it. They went 3 and out on offense, and then their fourth play from offense was that fake punt that led to a touchdown.
It was absolutely tremendous. Let's get to the Sunday night game. Yeah, here it is on CBS Sports Network. I mean, there's no one there. It was basically just the punt returner, and it was completely wide open. So, hey, good for them. So, Seahawks, by the way, wound up winning that game 30-23. Fun finish to this one, too. San Francisco had it late. Same deal with the Steelers and the Ravens. Pittsburgh wins 20-19. Baltimore goes for 2 at the end. They don't get it. Rams easy, went over the Jaguars. Washington beat Oakland's Vegas 17-15. And the Sunday night game was indeed the Chiefs and the Broncos.
Mahomes turning left, steps up, being rushed. He's going to scramble, angling to the right. He's at the 5-4-3-2, angling, far front pylon. Touchdown! Kansas City, a scramble of 10 yards and a touchdown for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, they may not look like the same team, but they continue to win. That was Chiefs radio with the call. 22-9 was the final as KC beats Denver. Mahomes, the touchdown run, I think. They also had a pick six in this game, so all was good. Yes.
Yeah, no, I want to see what Bill in New Jersey has to say here because he wants to talk about this game that that Jerry is detailing. What's up, Bill?
Hey,
TL. Hey.
Yeah, listen. The reason why I called is because, you know, I think you should take it easy on yourself, you know, being a fan and a true fan, you know, stick to your guns. And, you know, when you look at Mahomes last night, and I'm not making a comparison to your quarterback, to Cousins and Mahomes, but, you know, he's got all those weapons there. And what did he really do last night? He's been shut down for a few weeks now. And so now everybody's starting to talk about, you know, him not doing anything. Now, I'm a Packers fan. I just want to tell you that. And we've had the luxury of having two fantastic quarterbacks over what, like a 30-year span, and that is a luxury. But you should take it easy on yourself. Don't worry. You know, stick to your fan base, and something's going to turn around. Remember, Trent Dilfer has a Super Bowl ring.
It's going to turn around, Gene.
Yeah, it's going to turn around. I know. I'm only 40 years old and watching this crap for 35 of it.
I think people were telling Joe it's going to turn around.
Yeah, I know. Joe Beningo is knocking on 70 right now. I haven't seen a championship since he was a teenager.
You're right.
It's going to turn around. At some point, he'll get there.
I'll tell you one thing. The reason that the Chiefs have turned it around this year, they've won 5 straight games.
Defense.
Their defense, right?
Yeah. How about that?
But you can't say, I'm not making a comparison, and then make a comparison. You made a comparison.
Yeah, you can't make a comparison like that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes, for crying out loud. He's won a Super Bowl. He's won an MVP, for Christ's sakes.
And I guess there was a catch and a fumble last night with Kelsey.
I didn't see it.
That Mike Vrabel, and I guess they reviewed it, Mike Vrabel was tweeting out the NFL rules, basically showing that they made a mistake. And McCauley, is that the
McCauley, yeah.
I guess he was on the same side as Vrabel, but the fact that he was screen grabbing the NFL rule book and tweeting it out there,
wow,
that they were screwing it up. Very interesting. Tonight you got the Patriots and the Bills. We'll have that for you on the Fan New England.
I mean, there's a big issue in the NFL going on, Jer. And that is that the officiating is horrific. And every week there's a lot of things that are going unnoticed by the general public, but are noticed every single week by the coaches. And when you tell me that Mike Vrabel,
yeah,
a head coach of the Tennessee Titans, is tweeting during a game,
yeah,
on a bye week, tweeting out the rule book, That tells me all I need to know. Because he is speaking. Remember how Joe Judge was talking about the headsets and the problems?
Yes.
This is what I think Mike Vrabel is doing about the officiating and how inconsistent and woeful it has become in the eyes of the coaches.
Inconsistent's the word. That's the problem. Certain rules are basically called or plays called or.
I mean, Jets got screwed yesterday on a pass interference call. Two of them, I think, actually, on defense that changed the game.
Blackhawks beat the Islanders in a shootout 3-2, 11 straight losses for the Isles. Devils, Senators tonight. Gil Hodges to the Baseball Hall of Fame. St. John's beat Fordham 83-69 and NYCFC to the MLS Cup.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
A lot of talk about John Harbaugh going for two at the end of Ravens Steelers. Did he make a mistake? Did he do the right thing? Well, obviously the result, you look back and you say, well, they didn't get it. So, you know, it didn't work out for them. But I love going for two in that situation, especially when you hear his explanation, the fact that they were so decimated at the cornerback position. They were like, if we tie this game, we're going to lose it anyway because we don't have any players left.
It's a Bill Belichick move.
Yeah.
You know, he recognized the situation that his team was in, and he had a chance to win it. I guess, you know, you could do the whole thing, you know, if you asked him before the game, if there was one play that you had to make to win it and the ball was going to be in Lamar Jackson's hands at the start of that play, would you take it?
Yeah.
And he probably would have said yes.
Right.
And again, I look at the play. Lamar does a great job of avoiding T.J. Watt, but he just doesn't make the throw.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, T.J. Watt did get in his face.
I understand, but he's Lamar Jackson. He is a terrific, terrific, you know, player, and he's able to make people miss. And it's just one of those plays.
I mean,
and he threw it to his best player.
Yep, and Mark Andrews for sure. I heard a lot of scuttlebutt or hullabaloo about Al's Tony Romo impersonation this morning, apparently.
Oh, it would be so awesome if they went for two, but they're not going to go for two. No one would go for two. It would be so awesome, though, Jim. Oh, they're going for two!
That sounds like Mr. Bill. That doesn't sound like Tony Romo.
He was so pumped up.
Yeah. Of course he is. He's all fired up at these games.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talking, that Tony Romo, when he gets excited.
Did he say? I didn't hear that because I was doing the updates for all the different games. So I did not hear what he said at the end. So he said that they were not going to go for two.
Well, he said, wouldn't it be so awesome if they went for two?
It would be so awesome if they went for two, but they're not going to go for two. No one would go for two. It would be so awesome.
So he said they would not go for two. Nobody would go for two.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Frank Reich would have went for two.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Frank Reich would have went for two 100%.
What he does. It's his thing.
Lives on the edge, baby.
Yeah.
Play to win the game. Remember those great comments from
Herm Edwards? How could you forget?
It seems like Tony Romo had no interest in doing an overtime game because he was like, oh, it'd be so great if we could just end it here.
I will say that, you know, a bunch of us were sitting in the studio thinking we could have had two overtime games. We could have had San Francisco and Seattle go into overtime, which was on our network as well. And we're all like, come on, guys, go for two.
Yeah.
Somebody was. Look, I'm a huge John Harbaugh fan. You know that. And I think he's terrific, and I know that he knows his team better than I do. And he went for the win. God bless him, man. I love
it. And it was there.
Yes, it was there. The play was there. Now, listen, Lamar had to do something. You would like to think that somebody would be blocking T.J. Watt in that situation. The other thing is I would like to know if Pittsburgh was a little bit offside on that play.
just a little bit offside?
Now,
is that like being a little bit pregnant?
Now, if that would have been Ed Hockley's crew, they would have been throwing flags all over the place.
Oh, my God.
They were throwing flags all over the place in the Cincinnati Charger game.
Is it, well, Ed Hockley's son, right?
Son, yeah.
Sean Hockley.
Yeah.
The Hockley family.
That crew tends to throw a lot of flags.
Yeah, I feel like Jerome Boger's crew is the one who throws the most flags. I've always say, love something in this life as much as Jerome Boger loves holding. Because it's every single play.
You could probably call it on every play.
Defense, offense, everybody holding. You're telling me Tony Romo's pulling a Keith Hernandez these days and he doesn't want to be at these games? I mean, he's only making, what, $18 million a year to call him?
No, he wants to be at those games. Of course he does.
Okay.
You could tell by the excitement.
Yeah, I suppose, but I mean, maybe the excitement was coming from the fact that he wasn't going to be in overtime at that point.
I love when he asks Jim a question and Jim can't answer it. That's what I love.
Yeah, well, my favorite Tony Romo thing is he just makes sounds as opposed to the analysis of stuff. Like if you go for a replay, like, oh, Jim, ooh.
Don't you make sounds when you're watching your Vikings?
No, it's usually cursing. That's what it is. It's not sounds.
See, he makes a sound instead of cursing.
Oh! Like if they're doing stretching out to see if it's a first down, he'll go, oh, that's what's going on there.
Here's something for you. So tonight you got a huge game, New England and Buffalo. In Buffalo, going to be lousy weather, windy, rainy.
Sure, it's going to be terrible, yeah.
Right. So are you watching the Manning cast or are you watching the actual broadcast?
I'm full-blown on Manning cast when there isn't an interview. Most of the interviews I'm out on because it's so choppy and weird and the Zoom calls are awful. But like the Bill Parcells one was great. Whoever set up Bill Parcells' Zoom for him, I'm assuming it wasn't him, did a great job. But like the John Stewart was terrible. Kevin Hart's terrible. The Gronk one, it just is so choppy. But when it's just Peyton and Eli talking about the game, I love it. But when they get these bad interviews on there, then I have a problem. Apparently David Letterman's going to be on tonight.
Why?
I don't know, because they put guys like that on.
Oh, I figured he was an Indianapolis fan, so I would have thought that you would have waited until the Colts are.
No. No, they're just going to put him on. David Letterman's going to be on. I don't know what did anybody else see the other list of guests that they'll have today?
I did not. I know Letterman was on Peyton's Places.
Oh, okay. So they're close, one of those things?
Yeah.
So if this game is close tonight.
Yeah. Manning cast, as long as there isn't a guest.
As long as there isn't a guest.
Yeah, that's my deal. I'll give the guest a chance, but it gets so awkward because Peyton doesn't want, I don't think Peyton likes having the guests on. I don't know what it is, but he's like, when a guest comes on, he's like not paying attention to the guest. He's watching the game. He's fully embroiled in the game. He's bopping back and forth. If you watch him, he's like every play, he's like, he's totally into it. And the guest kind of disrupts Peyton Manning watching the game.
Yeah, because then he's got to talk to the guest about what's going on in the guest's life, I guess.
Right, or... and then all the guests, they feel like every time that you have a guest that would come on in here that isn't a sports person, isn't famous because of sports, like if it's a comedian or something or an actor or whatever, they always feel like they have to talk sports because they're on a sports talk radio station. They always feel like whatever sports knowledge they have to show you. That's what's going on with the Manning cast. Like these guys, they act like they're, you know, like Kevin, I don't need to know what Kevin Hart thinks about football. I want Kevin Hart to make me laugh. Same thing with John Stewart. John Stewart's talking about the Giants and stuff. You don't have John Stewart on to talk about the Giants. You have John Stewart on to make you, but they don't really know what they're talking about.
Couldn't you have Bon Jovi on? And would John Bon Jovi be a Giant fan, or he's in, you know, Bob Kraft's box so much, maybe he's a Patriots fan?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I'm not sure. Does he still own that arena team? The Philadelphia Soul or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's just a Philadelphia Soul fan. I don't know. But that's what distracts me. When the guests come on, I go back to the other broadcast. I like those other guys. I think Greasy and Riddick do a really good job, and Steve Levy's a really good play-by-play guy.
It's a no-nonsense. It's just pretty...
It's a no-nonsense guy.
It's a no-nonsense broadcast. It's pretty sensible.
I just wonder if they're going to like try to combine the two or something.
No, I don't think so. I think they got a winner on both ends, actually. For those people that want to just watch the game and not be distracted, then you have it.
Who's got the? It's the NBC Super Bowl?
I believe it is, yes.
Do you think that NBC will try to do something like that during the Super Bowl and put on, like, Drew Brees because he's on the roster?
Right.
As a part of, like, a Manning cast thing that they would do for the Super Bowl? You think that they would do that?
You know,
it's a good idea, is it not? I think I just came up with a really good idea.
Yeah, but I
you think heard if, it here first.
Yeah, but I think if you're NBC, don't you want just as many eyeballs as you possibly can get on the game itself?
So
you
can, doesn't Monday Night Football want the same thing?
Yeah, but maybe
combo it. Get Chris Sims on there.
I never had pants.
Yeah, put him on there. Chris Sims, Drew Brees, Tony Dungy. Put those guys on in the mega cast.
I know you'd like to see my scrotum.
What?
How about other than Chris Sims, no one else is interesting that you just mentioned.
Drew Brees?
No one wants to hear from Drew Brees and Tony Dungy as an alternate
broadcast.
No, don't.
Tony Dungy sucks. He's terrible.
Drew Brees sucks, too.
You think Brees is terrible?
Oh, God, you guys are unbelievable.
He's not the Mannings. The Mannings are there because they're the Mannings. They're fun.
Well, Eli's not exactly. He's not interesting.
Yeah, but like with Peyton, it works.
It's Big Brother, Little Brother. I've often said I'd like to hear them just do a game in the booth by themselves without being distracted by all this other stuff.
They should put all those guys on Football Night in America.
I mean, honestly.
Peter King.
Put J.B. Smoove in there. He owns the Garden now all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
As Caesar.
That's right.
J.B. Smoove and Chris Sims, I would listen to that.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I bet you NBC does
Ranger
something like that.
Hey, fans! I'm home. What the F? What are you talking about? You ain't home.
Wow, that bothers you, huh?
It does. It does really bother me.
And those Caesars commercials that were running like four times an hour, fantastic.
Yeah, they're at least four.
I don't know what runs more, that or the vaccination ones.
Oh, doctor.
That good-looking doctor.
Dr. David Chosky?
Yeah, Chosky. Chosky, but then it's the other guy.
Oh, the other guy. What's his name? I forget. You guys don't get those in Jersey, though, because those are the New York guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we don't get them.
Yeah.
Man, they are all over the place.
Every single break. Hi, I'm Dr. David Chosky, New York City Medical Director.
On what is this now?
On vaccinations.
But it's on every
what broadcast?
Every channel.
Every local channel. When you go into really local local ad sales, they are on every single one. And some of their, it feels like it goes on for like 2 minutes.
No, I know. And then he calls himself just Dr. Dave. He was just
talking. Like I'm watching a MyPillow commercial that goes on for 3 minutes.
it's so bad. It is.
Jesus God.
Maybe you're like me, and you're not as active as you were prior to the pandemic. Well, I think you should get vaccinated. I'm Dr. David Chosky. And the Jerome Easterling, is that his name?
Is that Jerome Easterling?
I feel like that's his name. I'm telling you.
Dr. Jerome Easterling?
I'm telling you, I think that's his name, the other guy. Easterling, Dr. Easterling. I'm almost positive. The best ones,
though. He's got a great shirt and tie combination, that guy.
Torian Easterling.
Is that what it is?
Maybe it's not. No, it is. Yeah, Dr. Torian Easterling. He's the guy. I'm pretty sure, yeah. Yeah, here he is. COVID-19 vaccine commercial with Torian Easterling. I was close.
You're close, yes.
I got Easterling right.
You've seen it so much.
And then there's the Pastor one that we played. Pastor Chris. If you Google Pastor Chris vaccine, you remember Pastor Chris?
Yes, I do remember him on the streets. He was on the streets.
He was on the streets telling us to get vaccinated. That guy. Do you have that one, Eddie, on YouTube? Pastor Chris tells us to get vaccinated. He's my favorite out of everybody. That guy is tremendous. I mean, if I almost wanted to go back and get another three shots because of Pastor Chris. God was absolutely phenomenal. Like, if you were ever on the fence about the vaccine, Pastor Chris
will convince you.
He pushed you right over.
Right.
But, there's still...
It's like a mega church pastor, what?
like one of those. There's a Joel Osteen.
I was here today to take my second dose of the vaccine. Vaccination, you know, for this coronavirus that is spreading all over the world. No, I was not nervous. You know, it was very easy, very easy. Personally, I don't have the side effects. I've taken the first dose. I took the second dose. It doesn't affect me. I would tell people who are afraid of getting the vaccine not to be. It's not worth it because there is no side effect. If at all there is any side effect in some cases, it's something very minor. It's minor side effects. Like I said earlier on, I personally don't have any side effect. The injection is
mild. The needles are very tiny. I took the injection. You know, I didn't feel anything. Just a priest.
Go get him.
Take your vaccination. You know, millions of people have taken it. New York City is the best city in the whole world taking this vaccination. We are here to conquer.
Visit.
We're here to conquer.
I like it.
Yes, the needles are tiny. There's no side effects, but if you do get side effects, they're minor side effects. But I don't get side effects because I'm Pastor Chris and I'm here to conquer. It's amazing. Just over and over and over and over again. Every break. Sort of like that Nick Costos who was in every single break on the Odyssey app.
No hot takes.
No hot takes here. I'm Nick Costos. BetQL. This week I'm taking a bell. It's like a squirrel on meth.
I heard him being interviewed by Sal.
Oh, okay.
Sal Licata last week. Oh, it was hilarious.
Yeah, the two of them going back.
Who could go faster?
Isn't betting all hot takes? Like, the whole thing is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What is a hot take, really, in the end? Do we know? Do we know what a hot take really is? That's the philosophical sports talk radio question.
I don't know. We do hot takes on social media now, or some people do. Like, Zoo will do it naked.
That's not a hot take. That's
Zoo,
just...
when Zoo is naked in bed and he's doing his hot take, yo.
Yeah, I don't think that's so hot. Quite
well,
frankly,
not physically hot, but I'm just saying, like, he's giving you a hot take.
I suppose he's giving you a recap, is what he's giving you. He's not giving you hot takes generally. The Big Zoo. I haven't seen the Big Zoo like once in the last 6 months. That Big Zoo. I definitely miss him.
Next week.
Next
week of the 20th.
Okay. You're out that week?
Yes.
Okay. So we get the Zoo that day.
As is out.
Oh, wow. Both of you guys. And then are you working? You're taking 2 weeks off. Look at you guys. Nice.
I got to space that out better. Next year, I got to do more in the summer.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing? I mean, 2 weeks off in the
but it was still
winter
corona
time.
And everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You didn't come in there for a while. When was your first day back?
I think April.
Oh, okay, so you were here this summer then. Oh, I don't remember a thing about anything anymore.
But plans in terms of going places was
still... That's because things are going so fast.
I know. It's incredible.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.